The Lord be with you.
Holy Gospel according.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her, that she might get well and live." The crowd followed him, and there was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astonished. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. I thought for today we could jump right into this gospel passage because there's so much happening there with these two miracles, this crowd of people, Jesus coming off of a boat, and if you just read it on the surface, you might miss a lot of the depth of what Mark, the evangelist, was trying to communicate. And I think it'll be very interesting, above all, because the scene where this is happening was recently discovered in archaeology over in the Holy Land. See, for years it wasn't really sure. Some of the miracles that Jesus does, it doesn't tell us exactly where it was, and so they can only guess. But we know Jesus was coming across the Sea of Galilee from the region of the Gerasenes. And if you were to cross over from that side of the lake, the natural landing place would be at a little town called Magdala, where Mary Magdalene would be from. But they hadn't ever dug up the town of Magdala. They knew where it more or less was supposed to be, but it wasn't until a construction project was started that they bumped into all the ruins of this town, and they first discovered a huge synagogue. Not the walls, but like the mosaic floor and an altar. And they had stumbled across a first century synagogue that Jesus himself no doubt would have been in there preaching. And why they know it's this scene from the gospel is because they found a fish market area where there would have been a lot of people during the day. And so Jesus comes across to the other side, Magdala. He gets off and he's immediately surrounded by a lot of people right there at what would have been the fish market. And then this man Jairus comes up, and in English we lose some of the translation, but he's referred to as the arch rabbi Jairus. So he's some rabbi at a big important synagogue, and this was one of the biggest, most important ones they had ever found. So this must be where Jairus was, you know, the head rabbi. And so it all sort of lines up, Magdala. And since then they've built a pilgrim center. If you ever go to the Holy Land, it's definitely a must-see. And they have some mosaics, which you see on the screens, that are very new. An Italian artist, can't remember his name, designed these mosaics. And you see the hand of this woman reaching out to the hem of Jesus' cloak. Now let's dive into this Bible story for just a second here, because this woman who seems to kind of be maybe not the central part of the story, and that's kind of been the story of her life. 12 years with those hemorrhages. What a difficult illness for any woman to have. Such a personal one, such a hidden one, such a suffering, probably always tired, worn out, exhausted, and not really getting much care. No one even notices. It's not something you could just stand up. Like, let's say you were blind and you wanted Jesus to heal you. It'd be easy to stand up and say, "Jesus, I'm blind, heal me." And everyone would want to help you there. But how would she stand up and explain to the whole world what was happening? She was probably too ashamed or embarrassed. And sheer physical suffering was nothing compared to her spiritual suffering. We're going to have to go back to the first century and our Jewish brothers and sisters at the time. Illnesses, afflictions, were often considered punishments sent by God. They were still grappling with questions about eternal life and heaven, and they couldn't really make heads or tails of why bad things happen to good people, so they simply interpret it, if a bad thing happens to you, it's because you must secretly be a bad person, and God knows that. And so her physical affliction is nothing compared to the sadness of feeling that God has rejected her. You can just imagine for 12 years to be so alone humanly and also so alone spiritually. I don't think we can even really fathom what it must have been like for this poor woman. But Jesus, coming across the Sea of Galilee, he knows all about her. There's two women he wants to take care of. This woman who for 12 years has this affliction, and a little girl who's also 12 years old. So there's a parallel that Mark is drawing out between the two women. And Jesus knows, he's so graceful and so merciful and tender. He knows that this woman won't approach him in the middle of the crowd. He knows she's too afraid. She has this fear and trembling. He knows the only way she's going to get close to him is if he turns his back on her and walks by pretending to not even notice. He knew then she would creep up in the crowd and touch his cloak. It's kind of almost impossible to explain. God, in the presence of Jesus, turning his back on her so that she would approach. And that's exactly what she does. Jesus knew it was happening. He probably had the crowd distracted in some different way so that she could get close, and she touches his hem and she's healed physically. And then Jesus turns around, and what does he do? He looks at her, and she who was just afraid to see God looking at her, because remember, for her, God has punished her. God has rejected her. And to hear the voice of God tell her, "Daughter, my daughter, you are healed." She wasn't rejected by God. He loved her. She was a beloved daughter. Her whole world changes in an instant when she realizes she's no longer rejected or far from God, but he's right there with her. Jesus gives her back that dignity. I can remember this little story, this little thing that happened once at the wounds clinic in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, which I've brought you all there in my stories often. And you know the misery that is there and just the filth and the garbage. And we're there probably about 100 Haitian men and women. We were taking their bandages off and cleansing them and doing what we could. And in the midst of all of that, some men brought in a wheelbarrow. And it was an old dirty wheelbarrow with a flat tire, you know, and they were bringing it in, and inside there was kind of a man just rolled up in a ball, emaciated, covered in sores and bugs, and clearly wasn't going to live for very long. The men said they had found him out in the garbage dump, and they knew that there at this wounds clinic where Mother Teresa's sisters were there and they would be cleansing the wounds and helping the poor. So they brought him there, and immediately I wasn't involved. I was doing something else. The sisters picked him up out of that dirty wheelbarrow, washed him, put some ointments on him, clothed him, and put him in the bed, and we prayed with him, and he passed away moments later. We gave him back his dignity for, it was just a second, but it was powerful, you could say, physical revelation of what God does for us. And when we can be like that in our Christian faith, that's what makes us like God. It's a powerful thing to say. When we go through life, we don't maybe judge people. We don't really know what's going on inside, but we, through our charity, can give people back their dignity. Now, Jesus continues. He helps this one woman, but then there's this little girl who's passed away. She's dead. She's no longer alive. And Mark wants to tell us in the gospel that Jesus takes care of our human needs, but he also takes care of our eternal life needs. He can heal us here, and he also raises us from the dead, which is what he does for this little girl. And there's something simple that Mark says at the end. He's like, Jesus raises her, she starts walking around, and Jesus says, give her something to eat, all right? And Mark, through the Holy Spirit, is also revealing what heaven's like when we rise from the dead and we're in heaven. Heaven is a wedding feast, right? There's so many layers to this gospel that Mark is pulling out. So I want us today, as we reflect on this scene, it's beautiful to talk about this on Sunday morning, right? But what does this mean for us on Monday morning when we're on our way to work and we're stuck in traffic or something like that happens? Well, how beautiful it is to be a Christian, to live your life always seeing the heart of your neighbor. We don't really know what's going on. No one knew this poor woman for 12 years there. There were just a crowd of people. And if we're not careful, if we're just gossipy types and judgmental types, we're just that crowd of people in the marketplace that doesn't even notice this poor woman on the side. Well, as our Christian faith invites us, we're not called to be just that noisy group in the marketplace. We're called more to be those that can see the heart, have compassion, have mercy. Another thing we can do is, this first miracle of Jesus is a symbol of going to confession, going to ask our Lord for forgiveness. How often we should do that in our prayer. And to be Christian doesn't mean you follow a bunch of rules or just go to church on Sunday. It means you've had an encounter with Jesus like this woman had in Magdala. And sometimes we just take that for granted as if that's happened, but it's not really true of all Christians. Not all Christians have had that gift yet, but our Lord wants to give them that grace. Perhaps it'll happen in the little room in the back there where every weekend hours and hours go by with Father Richard, myself, Father Rudolph, as people come and they receive God's mercy. I promise if you go, you will receive mercy from us priests. We won't even see you. There's a screen up. It's kind of like the woman coming with, you know, behind Jesus, right? That's another way that we can put this gospel into practice. We can ask our Lord to come to us. And if in some way in your life you feel like God has turned his back on you. Perhaps there's something else really happening. Perhaps, after all, he hasn't. And once you get through the storm, once you get through the darkness, when you see how God writes the end of that story, of that problem, you'll be able to, like this woman, be able to look on the face of God and be amazed at how wonderful is our Heavenly Father. So my brothers and sisters, I know that was a lot of ideas, pretty high theology for so early in the morning, but if you're here for the first time, we welcome you to be with us. We hope to be a parish, a spiritual family that brings this Christ to all people, this experience of the mercy of God that will change our little part of Charlotte here, right? That's our mission and our goal, and let that be our prayer today.